I hope you will. I would ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And before I do this, I ask you to truly visit the display tables back there. And of course, I specifically would like to call your attention to Heritage Baptist University and Seminary. I've been told by Ben Kendrick, if I don't plug it, I will hear from him. But by the way, it is a great school. It's a small school. It was founded 50 years ago by Ford Porter, who wrote the tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Many of you are familiar with that. And I trust that you will take a look at that table back there. And if you have questions, you ask them to Dr. Kendrick, because he has the answers. I can answer some, but not all of them. I am a representative for the school. When I'm out in meetings and so forth, I like to represent the school. And also, I like to represent Committee on Missionary Evangelism, because that's the mission board that I'm with. And I enjoy being with that board. I enjoy going to small churches. That's what we do. We go to small churches, preach the word as well as we possibly can, and sing. I've had a fellow tell me, you know, you ought to quit preaching and just keep on singing. And I don't know, I can't remember whether that was after I had preached or what. But anyhow, I'm still preaching anyway whenever I get the opportunity. And I'll sing along with it too. I may sing a song or two this morning as the Lord leads. Sometimes He puts a song in my mind as I'm going along that fits the point that I want to preach about. And so I do that. If I can remember the song and at least remember one verse of it, I will do that. Anyway, visit the tables back there. Committee on Missionary Evangelism is behind my table. By all means, visit my table. I have to beg people to take brochures and things of that nature every time I go to a church. But take those things and pray for us. That is my prayer request to you this morning. Now, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, I want to preach about Christ and His Word. What I would want to title this thing is, how do we preach the message of Jesus Christ? How do we make Him known? How do we lift Him up? Because He says in John 12:23, I think it is, or 12:32. It's somewhere in the book of John. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And He draws one way or the other. He does. But the thing is, you and I have the opportunity and privilege as Christians. I'm not talking just to preachers this morning. I'm talking to everyone, especially myself. We are the ones who make Christ known. We are the ones who preach Christ by our lives first, and then by our message and the things that we say and do. The others will see Jesus in us. And I'll come to that after a short time. But first of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read verses 23 through 25 to you this morning to give us an introduction to this message. I like the Apostle Paul. He's one of my favorite people for a lot of reasons. But I think a couple of the main reasons are that he is a humble person. In fact, I heard that Paul was kind of short. And he wasn't very good looking either. But anyhow, I don't know where I heard this. I heard it somewhere along the line. But Paul is a humble person. And how he approached preaching Christ is something I really marvel at. And I think we're going to see that this morning. Verse 23 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now I want you to come over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we find the real crux of the message I want to give to you this morning. "And I, brethren," chapter 1 of verse 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." I like what Paul says here, because he did not use oratory or anything of that nature. And I'll say more about that in just a few moments. But He says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. Verse 2, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I've used that as my life verse in a sense because I appreciate the fact that my responsibility as well as a privilege is to make Christ known. To know Jesus Christ among people so that they see Him in me. And so this morning I want to just talk, my outline is very simple, just as my message will be. How we preach, who we preach, I should start with who we preach, what we preach, how we preach, and why we preach. And I'm talking about the Christian testimony because by our testimony in our daily lives, we preach. And we preach Christ, hopefully. I've often wondered, if somebody could see me in my car as I'm driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of me and goes very, very slow. They're in a hurry to get out in front of me, but they're not in a hurry once they get going. And if they could see me in my car behind them, they might not see Christ. I've had to ask God for patience so many, many times. Lord, help it not to show. Help me to show Jesus Christ in all that I do. Because He is the one I'm preaching. That's who we preach. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You tie that in with the verses that we just read in chapter 1. He is our Messiah. We try to give that message to the Jewish people. We need to give it to each other. We need to recognize that He is the Messiah. And He's coming again. That's a great hope that we have. And somehow we need to be vibrant and happy and exuberant, if you will, in that hope that we have. To express it to others. So because we are preaching and living a person because it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We need to remember that. And that ought to show in our lives and in our ministry and in our testimony, personal testimonies and so forth. Christ, He wants us to promote Him. Because He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. We're going to make Him known. That's who we preach. Because we want to make Him known, He wants us to make Him known. And I can think of no better song to sing here than a good doctrinal song, at least I think it is, because this one whom we preach is the one who came down from heaven's glory to take upon Himself human form and to meet the needs of humankind and to pay the price for your sins and for mine. I think you'll see it in the message of this song. By the way, I like to sing. I enjoy singing. I hope I can do it as long as Beverly Shea did, or has. I think he's still doing it. I don't know. But anyway, I love to sing, but listen, folks, singing is not for entertainment. Music is not always for entertainment. I can sit and listen to this band play. By the way, they can accompany me tonight when I sing. I'll give you the name of the song, and let's see what happens on that score. I think it'll be fun. You know, we can enjoy the music, yes. We can be blessed by the music. But sometimes we kind of seek that blessing in that little entertainment bit that we fail to get the message. I want you to get the message of this song. Let it preach Jesus Christ to you. Listen. Down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Creator became my God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without reluctance, flesh and blood His substance, He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know Thou art the great I Am. Oh, sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Jesus Christ is deity. He is the Counselor. He is the mighty God. And we are to preach about Him. We are to preach Him. That's who we preach. Now, what we preach? What do we preach about Him, in other words? We preach that's the message. That's the message that we have, is to preach about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 1, and the latter part of that verse says, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's what we preach. We declare the testimony of God. God has given us His Word. He has given us the message to give. And we are to preach that Word. Christ is the living Word. This is the written Word. And we need to use it. We need to preach it. We need to stay by it. I don't care what man says. And I'm to the place now where it's not so hard for me anymore to say, well, if I'm persecuted or if I'm going to be killed for the cause of Jesus Christ, then God is giving me grace right now. He is beginning to give me grace to face such a persecution or such a happening in my life. But my job, my responsibility, my privilege is to preach Christ by my life, to have a testimony. And these are days, folks, when it's not as easy to testify as it once was. It's not as easy to preach the Word as it once was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's what we preach today. That's our message that we preach. We preach the testimony of God. Look at John 3. John 3. I want to take you there to just a couple of verses and have you and let you read those verses with me, please. John 3 and verses 30 to 34. John, this is our attitude, by the way. And what attitude should I be preaching Christ? What's my attitude in preaching Christ? What's my attitude in my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? I think John gives it to us in verse 30. He says, He must increase, I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He that is sent from God speaketh the words of God. And the words of God are right here. We preach Christ. We preach the living Word from the written Word. Our attitude must be that He must increase and I must decrease. Look at 15, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and I want to just read the first four verses. Familiar verses, I know, but I think they're important to us this morning because this is what we preach. And Paul, again, he's telling the Corinthian people, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Here's the message. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, it amazes me, though, that there are a lot of people who say, I have a granddaughter who says, well, I believe Christ. I believe that He came to earth and He died on the cross. And I believe that He rose again and He's coming again. But she's never had that heart experience. That bothers me. And every time I get a chance, I try to convey, if you will, through either words, talking with her, or by my very life and attitude itself, that there is more to it than just having it in your head. If we're going to preach Christ, we need to preach it from the heart and not from the head. We can have all the knowledge in the world, but those whom we preach to and whom we testify, we have to present it to them in such a way that they understand and that they see Christ in you and see Christ in me. That brings me in mind to a song that I sing every once in a while. Can others see Jesus in you? You stop and think. You may not say a word. You may be walking down the street or something of that nature. You may be in a store shopping. You may be in your car driving and somebody tries your patience. That's the worst place to have your patience tried, by the way. But you may be there and you may listen, or you may have people watching you. You don't realize they're watching. I found this out by experience. Somebody said that they were watching me in a store one day. And thank the Lord, I was behaving myself. I don't always do that, do I, Brother Hensby? He's a bad influence on me. Not really. We have good fellowship together. But you know what happens? Do they see Christ in me? That's what do they see in you? I watch people in the stores. I watch them on the streets. I watch them everywhere. I watch them in church. Oh, that's interesting. And do I see Christ in all of them? You know, every once in a while I get into churches that don't have a pianist and somebody that can play for me. So I've let my lady here have a little rest on this song, because so often I have to sing a cappella. And so, I'm going to just sing a verse of this one song here, because I think it has a message that you and I need to have. Listen to the message. Christ Jesus has triumphed o'er Satan and death, and now, praise His name, I am free. Although He has gone to the Father's right hand, may others see Jesus in me. May others see Jesus in me. May others see Jesus in me. For how will the lost know of Jesus if they cannot see Jesus in me? The second verse, I won't sing that, but it goes like this. The harvest is plenteous, the fields, they are white. Alas, for the laborers are few. 'Tis far better not to profess Jesus' name if the world cannot see Him in you. Can others see Jesus in you? Can others really see Jesus in you? For how will the lost know of Jesus if they cannot see Jesus in you? Whether we like it or not, we're preaching Christ. And we need to preach Christ daily. And we need to be conscious of that every moment, every minute of the day. We're out in our backyard, working in the garden or in the yard. My wife and I sometimes, she does it more than I do, but I'm out in the yard. And one thing I have to be very conscious of, our neighbors are just across the fence. They're right next door. They can hear and see almost everything we do, as we can with them. And we need to be preaching Christ out there in the yard. You never know who's watching. Now, how we preach, here's the method. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 2. And let's take verse 1 again. How we preach. Paul says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's how we preach. If we can just take our lessons from the Apostle Paul and seek the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't have fancy speech. I'm not an orator or anything like that, like Apollos. I'm not a fireball like Peter. I don't think Paul was a fireball. I mean, I don't think he pounded the pulpit a whole lot and yelled and screamed. By the way, I don't mean that as a critic, a critique, or what do you call those things? Anyway, I don't mean that negatively. Because there are people with a personality that they can, if they want, and if I get wound up, I can yell. I taught fourth grade for 7 years, so I ought to be able to do something. And we had 7 adopted children on top of that, so we, sometimes that comes in handy. I taught a Bible class in a Christian school some years ago. I was teaching 7th and 8th graders. And I asked him one day, I thought, I want to find out something here. What makes a good preacher? And you'll be amazed at some of the answers I got. But most of them said, he's one who can pound the pulpit and really talk loud. I don't know whether they were trying to tell me something or not, because I'm usually pretty soft-spoken. Anyway, I've learned through the years, though, to try to project more and to be a little louder, because I've had people say, I can't hear you. And right now, with my hearing aid, sometimes I have to lean over and say, I can't understand you. I can hear you, but I cannot understand you. By the way, folks, if you talk to me and there's a background conversation and everything going on, forgive me if I don't respond to you like you anticipate, because sometimes I don't understand what you're saying. I didn't ask to be this way. The Lord has allowed it for a reason, and I thank Him for that. But how we preach, we need to be confrontational. I think that's the most important thing. I've heard that word many times lately. Our churches are not being confrontational in their ministry and reaching out to the community because they want to get people in. So we have our program. This has already been mentioned this week. We have our programs and everything else, and we want to get people in. We want to get the young people in especially. But really, are we giving them the nourishment that they need to become spiritually minded and to become spiritually oriented to where they love the Lord Jesus enough that they want to preach Him by their lives as well as their testimonies, testimonies by word of mouth and so forth? We need to be confrontational in the sense that we need to be preaching what God has said in His Word. As we preach Christ, we need to preach what happens when we don't accept Christ as our personal Savior. That means preaching the judgment of God, because the day is going to come when Jesus Christ is going to judge mankind. What scares me is when I get into the judgment seat, what's He going to say about me? I wish you would just say, George, just go sit in the corner and forget it. You have no praise coming. And I'll go sit in that corner and I'll say, thank you, Lord, that you didn't call attention to my faults and where I failed and so forth. But you know, it can be scary. Have we preached Christ enough that He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And have we been faithful enough to be confrontational, to go to a person and say, listen, just like the fellow that I witnessed to one day when I was pastoring out in Kansas, and I walked up to his trailer house door and I knocked on the door and he answered it, and I told him who I was. I'm pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church, and I'd like to invite you out. And he interrupted me. He said, no, I said, I'm not interested. He said, you see that cemetery down there at the end of the road? I said, yes, I do. He said, the day is going to come when they're going to take me down there and put me in a hole, cover me up, and that's going to be it. That's going to be the end. I looked at him and I smiled. I said, no, sir, that's going to be the beginning. Well, that's one time God gave me boldness and I never thought I could have. But yeah, I said, that's just the beginning. I said, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's an eternity ahead and you're going to spend it in hell if you don't accept Him as your personal Savior. I said it kindly. I don't know that I used those exact words, but that's the message I tried to get across to him. How we preach. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And this is something that Paul was concerned about as he wrote to the Ephesian church, and he says to them in verse 18, praying. He's already talked about the Christian armor and so forth. And he says, now, along with that, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And the whole idea that Paul was looking for here was to have these people pray for him as I have asked some of you to pray for me today. That the Spirit of God would take hold and instill in my own heart and soul the message that I ought to bring and the way I ought to bring it and the liberty that I need to have to bring that message to you. We need to preach Christ. We need to preach Him more in our churches. We need to forget about what the world thinks and not try to be politically correct and have the attitude, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ and His gospel are offensive. And we need to preach that gospel and preach it strongly because it's not offensive to us. And if we preach it strongly and get the message out to the world and say, listen, Jesus Christ is the beginning and He's the end as far as we are concerned. He's going to judge someday. He not only loved us enough to come down and take upon Himself human form and become our Savior and make it possible that we would not have to go to hell, but to give us the hope of glory. I like that verse in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is He in you today? Is He in me? As He should be? I have to admit sometimes my attitude, my disposition is not what it ought to be. I'm a human being. I'm still in this body of flesh. I'm asking the Lord to do two things when He takes me home or when He comes to receive me up into glory along with the rest of you. Please change my body. Make me tall. And help my disposition. Well, I know that's going to change. That's got to change. That's got to change. Anyway, the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to seek this power. You say as an individual lay Christian or so forth, I don't know. I don't think that fits me. Yes, it does. It does. It probably fits you more than anybody. Because as you live your life from day to day, and you meet people and you have contacts and so forth, the Holy Spirit needs to indwell your heart and your life, your mind, everything. So that whatever you say to them, whatever you do with them, you are letting them see Christ in you. You're preaching Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You ought to pray every morning, Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit today. It needs to be a constant request. A constant request. How we preach. Why we preach. That's our mission. Why? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the one, probably the greatest reason why we preach is what is said here in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Part of the reason why we preach is that men are getting worse and worse. The sin in this world of ours, do I have to tell you? I don't think I do. It's getting bad out there. And we need to preach Christ. That's all the more reason. And the thing is, Paul is saying to Timothy, because you've learned the scriptures and everything, and what you've learned from me, and all of this is going to increase your faith and make you stronger in the faith. And that's what we need to do, is to get into the Word of God, to learn more about the living Word, and to be able to apply, if you will, more of the living Word in our lives, more of Jesus Christ and His principles. Oh, we need to sing that song, "Oh, to be like Thee, Blessed Redeemer." I could have used that this morning. I'm not doing that, but you know the song, and it has a tremendous message to it. It's a prayer song. As far as I'm concerned, it's a good prayer song, and I sing it quite often. And we need to use that. Okay, because men shall wax worse and worse. And then in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy and verses 2-5, there's a command. There's a command for us to preach Christ, to be the kind of testimony we ought to be. And that is in verse 2, it says this, "Preach the word. Be instant." In other words, be consistent always, in season and out of season. "Reprove." That's a great word right there. You can make a whole sermon on these few words right here. You are to reprove, show people when they're wrong, and try to show them where they're not living for the Lord or something of that nature. But you better be sure you're right. That's the thing. See, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear something nice. You know what I mean? "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." You can do the work of an evangelist. Everybody can be an evangelist here by your personal daily testimony showing Christ to others, letting others see Jesus in you. I think that's really great, because people are turning away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned into fables. They are seeking entertainment through contemporary music. If you'll excuse me for saying that, you don't have to excuse me. I'm going to say it anyhow. Because the church that I was in, that I used to attend, I was a member of the church, they supported our ministry for $400 a month. The church had grown to about 1,500 from a little church of about 35. And I was with them when they were 35. I was with them when they were 1,500. We had to walk out when they got up to about 2,000. Because suddenly the music started to change and the choir started doing this. And not only that, but the style of music began to change. And we just could not handle it. And you know something? When that changes, the preaching changes. Eventually. Not right away sometimes, but the preaching will eventually change. They entertain. They have a big, tremendous gymnasium. What a place. I mean, I've been over there to see it and all. I have no idea how much money went into that, but I did have one question. How much is Jesus Christ being preached to the young people they get into that gym? And are they really reaching them for Christ, or are they really just reaching them to get them in, to entertain them, hoping that they will keep coming and maybe accept Christ as Savior somewhere along the way? Now, some do. Some do. But I say we preach Christ today by our lives, by our example, through the Word of God, right straight from the Bible itself, and preach it strongly. As a young person, I was drawn to spiritual things, even though I came from a broken home. My father left home when I was 10. The divorce became final when I was 17. It might as well have become final right away, but be that as it may. Yet the Lord had a hold, somehow, through Christian young people who were my friends and who wanted me to take part in their youth activities and things like that. And their youth activities, while they were fun and a lot of good things happening and everything else, yet there was a strong presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that helped me to grow. And I'll never forget those ministries to my own soul. But that's not what's happening today. Young people are not taught to be a witness to somebody else. They're not taught to nourish or help somebody else. I'll always thank God for Bruce. I thank God for Bruce too. But there was this young teenage boy that I went to school with who was a tremendous Christian young man. I never will forget Bruce. And he had such a tremendous testimony. I saw Christ in him every day. And he's the one who probably had more influence upon me as a young person than anybody I can recall. He would always invite me to the youth meetings at their church because my mother wouldn't let me join that church. I wanted to, but she said, we stay here. This is American Baptist Convention Church back in the 30s. I don't have to tell you how old I am. Some of you know. But anyhow, back in the 30s, and I wanted to join this church because I liked their youth group. And I liked what they were doing. There was something in this church that I was attending that was dead. Ever get into a place where you smell something and it just doesn't smell right? Something is dead. And I always had that feeling. I can put it that way now. I couldn't then, but I knew something was wrong. Something was missing in our church, our young people. Of course, we're always going here and always going there for entertainment and this and that. But there was something about these other young people that really had an influence in my life. And I think I can look back and I always wonder, if I hadn't met Bruce at school and he had not asked me to come to his youth meetings and my mother did let me go to those, I wonder where I'd be today. I really do. What a tremendous impact. He preached Christ by his life and by his testimony. It's a command for us to preach the gospel of Christ, to preach Christ, to promote his person, to lift him up so that others can see him for themselves and see their need of Jesus Christ. You know, God never changes. God's word does not change. God's message does not change. God's method does not change. Because God's purpose has not changed. And if we stay by the stuff, we're going to see some great things happen. Back to 1 Corinthians 1, and this is in closing. And it won't take me 18 minutes to close or anything like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So let the world think we're foolish. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That's our message today. We preach Christ crucified, and beloved, the day will come when we will see him. We may go through persecution. We may have opposition from all sides. I've had it. I've had doors slammed in my face and things of that nature. But be that as it may, I want to keep on keeping on no matter what. God give me the grace to do that. God give you the grace to do that. Because one day, it's going to be worth it all. Listen to these words and I'm through. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever pass. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a heart, a home, a crown. And Satan will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we Father, thank You for allowing me to preach the Word this morning. Thank You for letting me sing, for being in the ministry, and like the Apostle Paul, I marvel, and I'm grateful that You counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I pray for continued opportunities to serve You, Lord, and I pray that the message that has gone forth now, in this hour, that it has not only blessed the hearts of people, but that it has challenged their hearts as it challenges mine. It's Your message. It's Your word. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.